What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I am your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Wednesday to you. We've got a special guest today here on this podcast, one that I'm looking forward to because of the insight that he can provide on both Stephon Diggs, the Bills' new wide receiver, and as well as a ton of different draft discussion that I want to get into. And that is none other than former Washington Redskins tight end Jordan Reed. I'm kidding. My co-worker, Jordan Reed, from thedraftnetwork.com, senior NFL draft analyst, just like myself at the Draft Network. Jordan, thanks for coming on, man.
No problem, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Are you signing with Seattle or... No, okay, all right. I'll stop.
It's a joke you have to run with now, man. I'm completely fine with it. I'm used to it.
Yeah, especially now that you're a free agent. Okay, dude, I'm... Okay. All right, so I'll get serious here on this podcast. Stephon Diggs is a Buffalo Bill, and that's a big deal. And you're very well versed on the Minnesota Vikings. Follow the team. I think you've covered the team in the past. Let's hit this first from the player that the Bills are getting for Josh Allen and his skill set and how you think he can impact this Buffalo offense.
Well, first and foremost, you're getting a heck of a player. And, I mean, Stephon's incredible. He was by far my favorite player on the team outside of Dalvin Cook from an offensive perspective. And I think the thing that really makes him so special is that he's not only the complete package as a receiver, but he's a terrific individual as well. And I think he kind of gets a bad rap for, you know, being a me-first, a self-centered person when he's just really, really competitive. And that's one of the biggest things that I love about Stephon Diggs. But just as far as the player, you're getting a player that's an ultimate separator. And I think with Josh Allen, a guy that's not known for being the most accurate quarterback in the world, him being able to naturally separate, I think that's going to help him a ton. But I think the biggest area where he's going to help Josh Allen the most is some of those off-script plays and where he likes to escape, contain, and get outside of the pocket. Stephon Diggs is really, really good at, you know, shuffling along and keeping his shoulders square to the quarterback and finding those little holes when quarterbacks are scrambling out of structure. So I like the pairing really well with him, and I think he's going to do really well. Now, something that does give me a little bit of pause with the relationship is that Stephon Diggs is known as a guy that he has a very strong personality. And we know with Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean, they have I don't want to say a drill sergeant type of mentality, but it is very, very structured. And that's something that he might struggle with initially. But as long as he understands the team-centric part of Buffalo, I think that's going to help him a ton. So I like the pairing a lot from an on-the-field perspective.
So you kind of got into him as a person a little bit there. And I'll be honest, kind of following Stephon Diggs throughout the course of his career, there was a point in time where he was like super renowned for his football character, his work in the community, just like a real stand-up guy that you would think would, you know, a process-driven type organization like Sean McDermott's created with Buffalo, that'd be a slam dunk fit. But we've seen some antics, if you will, on the sideline in addition to social media. I mean, you kind of alluded to that a little bit, but how would you describe that? And is it something the Bills fans should be concerned about?
I don't think so. And I think with Stephon, like I said, I think it's a huge misconception about him. He's just a typical star receiver, man. And, you know, with these star receivers, I think there's a fine line between competitiveness and kind of being a diva. And we know with these big-time wide receivers, they're labeled wrongly a lot of times as being divas when they just want to make the biggest impact for their team and they want the ball. With receivers, it's really hard for them to impact the game if the ball is not in their hands. So I think that's what Stephon Diggs, I think that's a common misconception about him is being a diva when that's not really the case. He's just really, really competitive.
And, you know, you can kind of offer a unique angle on this, given your experience as a three-year starter at a Division I program playing college football. I mean, you've had to obviously lead the huddle and manage, if you will, a group of weapons. I mean, what is that like? Is it just being honest with communication with, you know, what my plans are with the football? Is it, hey, I'm throwing the football to whoever's open and what the defense tells me? I mean, how do you kind of manage that?
I think it's a case-by-case basis, honestly, and you just have to understand exactly who you're working with. And at quarterback, we used to call this KYP. And KYP is just knowing your personnel. That's all that stands for. And, you know, when you have a guy that has a very strong or dominant personality, you're going to have to force feed him some way just because otherwise they're going to get extremely unhappy. You don't really want that to happen just because it's a trickle-down effect amongst the team. And then you have some of your lower level personalities where it starts to rub off on them. So you always want to do what you can to keep that dominant personality happy, but you also have to really massage some of the other personalities that you have. So it can get difficult to manage at times, but you just have to understand, you have to know your personnel, who you're working with. And sometimes you have to force feed that number one guy just so they'll stay happy. And then most of the times they'll make plays for you as a result. So it's really a fine line between it.
Yeah, I appreciate that perspective there. And you feel good about Buffalo as, I guess, a really stable locker room and a player driven leadership team with good coaching leadership as well, that, you know, he'd be fine there. But, you know, that's kind of the questions that come along with, okay, the number one receiver the Bills needed. Oh, but there's this dynamic to it. And I appreciate your insight there on that. Now, the Bills have Stephon Diggs. They don't have the first round pick anymore. They don't pick number 22. Vikings have that pick. And so it really changes the conversation when it comes to the NFL draft. Obviously, the Bills' objective with pick 22 was to get a true playmaking wide receiver for Josh Allen, which mission accomplished. But now that turns our attention to pick 54 in the second round and pick 86 in the third round for the for Brandon Bean to improve this football team. And I think most people look at this Bills roster and say the biggest need right now is cornerback. You've got Trey White, who's a bona fide number one shutdown, lockdown cornerback. But opposite of him, you have Levi Wallace, who's been exposed a little bit due to his, you know, kind of his restrictive physical traits. And then Josh Norman, who is 32 years old and has struggled a lot recently. And, you know, he's a guy that really couldn't afford to lose anything athletically. And you're starting to see that decline quite a bit here. So with cornerback being a top need for this football team, you think about the Bills picking at 54, who are some names realistically that you think could be there that would be a good fit for Leslie Frazier's defense?
Well, I think the number one target for them, I think if I was in that draft room, I think a guy that makes a ton of sense is Bryce Hall from Virginia. And we know that Brandon Bean and, you know, Sean McDermott, they love guys that are leaders, that are team captains, that are model citizens, they represent their program the right way. And that's exactly what Bryce Hall has done off the field, one of the best players in school history from a production standpoint. Unfortunately, he had the ankle last year, and there were talks that he was going to be a first-round pick prior to that point. But as far as him fitting in that mainly zone coverage type scheme where his speed is not really relied upon, I think Bryce Hall definitely would be a really good fit. I like him a lot. And Leslie Frazier's scheme. Another one is Damon Arnett from Ohio State. I think he's definitely another guy that they could have circled as far as a guy that's a team leader, a model citizen. Now, there are some questions about there out there as far as his character. There were some hiccups along the way. But as far as what he showed last year and the improvements that he made, I think Arnett definitely could be in range for them.
Yeah, I'd love either one of those picks. I promise the listeners that I didn't ask Jordan Reed to hype up Bryce Hall, because he's a name that I've said quite a bit here. And I think it's interesting to with me and Bryce, and maybe you will agree with this, but Bryce is a player that I feel like the Bills could definitely land at 54 and maybe at 86, but yeah, you're playing with fire with him dropping that far. And you might just have to live with the idea like, hey, we want Bryce Hall. We feel like he's a perfect in every way type player for us, that you just got to pull the trigger at 54, because I don't know that he gets to 86.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think if you want Bryce Hall, you're going to have to take him at 54. I just don't see any way he lasts to 86 unless the ankle is just really bad from a medical standpoint. But I just don't see that happening. And then with his game, it's such a great match, man. We've seen what Buffalo likes in the past as far as, you know, guys that are model citizens, and I keep harping on that just because the Buffalo Bills are so big on character. That's really one of the biggest things that you notice from some of the guys that they have drafted in the past. Their character and just the background in that area is something that they value a lot, and that's exactly what Bryce Hall does bring to the table. But if you want Bryce Hall, you're going to have to take him at 54. I just don't see him lasting to the third round, especially at 86.
Are any of these names even a possibility? Sure, should I just get them out of my mind? I'll throw a bunch at you here. Christian Fulton, cornerback LSU, Jeff Gladney, TCU, Noah Igbinoghene, Auburn, Trayvon Diggs, Stephon Diggs' brother, Alabama, AJ Terrell, Clemson, Jalen Johnson, Utah. Any chance of those guys at 54?
The only one I could see is Jalen Johnson, and the only reason I say that is because of the medicals. He's already had 3 shoulder surgeries, so that could give some teams pause about taking him as far as his long-term future and durability. I think that could give some teams some pause about him. But those other guys, I would be shocked if they last to 54.
Lie to me, man. Come on.
I'm not going to sell you a dream, man. You know, I'm a straight shooter. I'm gonna keep it real all the time.
All right. Well, the problem is now, Jordan, I can't talk about those players anymore at 54. The listeners have come back at me and said, you know, you're stretching. Jordan said that wasn't going to happen. All right. So with the idea that the Bills could go in a different direction at 54, not cornerback, and they wanted to wait until 86 to go cornerback, who are those realistic names that fit at 86?
Yeah, well, me and you both know there's a bit of a drop-off, I think, after the second round, and this cornerback class is lauded as being really strong, but I think it's kind of top-heavy, and then I think it drops off a bit after the second round. Then you're getting into guys like maybe a Troy Pride Jr. out of Notre Dame. Maybe he could be a fit. Michael Ojemudia from Iowa, he definitely could be a fit. And then you're getting to some down-the-line names like an A.J. Green from Oklahoma State. And even a Harrison Hand, who was a sleeper name from Temple. Maybe you're getting into some of those deep sleeper names if you want to take one in the third or fourth round.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. It's you're playing with fire, counting on Bryce Hall at 86. But good names are at 54. I think Trayvon Diggs is a dream, but fun to talk about nonetheless. All right, so we don't know for sure the Bills will go cornerback at 54. One thing that's been discussed is running back, where the lone backup really on the roster to Devin Singletary is T.J. Heldon, who was, you know, really a healthy scratch for most of the season last year. When you think about these top five backs, DeAndre Swift, Jonathan Taylor, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, J.K. Dobbins, Cam Akers, do you think there's a realistic opportunity for one of them to be there at 54?
See, this is what I really struggle with, Joe, honestly, in this class, just because, I mean, me and you have both done a ton of mock drafts. It's really hard to project if there's going to be a first-round running back this year, and we know, we've seen with Melvin Gordon, Ty Gurley, and Devontae Freeman this offseason that teams are just reluctant to pay those guys big money. So what is really the purpose of taking them in the first round? I know you get the fifth-year option, and you possibly get 5 good years out of them just because running backs don't really see that second contract, but are you really going to burn some early draft capital on that when you can get them in the third or even fourth round? And then some of these guys, with it being such a strong running back class, I think we're going to see a run on them at the top of the second round. So maybe some will be there in 54. I really honestly don't know. But if I had to guess one that would be there, I think Edwards-Helaire and Cam Akers probably would be the two most realistic, just because I think Swift and Taylor and Dobbins, I think those three are probably going to go late first or early second round. I think that's fair to say. But as far as the fit that I like the most is by far Jonathan Taylor, just because I think the Bills need that bigger type of running back that they can depend on every single down. And, you know, I love Devin Singletary coming out, but he just doesn't provide the durability and the bell cow manner that Jonathan Taylor does bring to the table, a true inside out type of back that can catch out of the backfield as well. But I think having Singletary as the 1B to his 1A, in a sense, I think that would pair really well.
Yeah, I'm with you in terms of the ideal complement, but I'm also with you in that the more realistic guys are Edwards-Helaire and Akers. Edwards-Helaire feels like maybe a slightly more athletic version of Devin Singletary, yeah, which I think is probably okay, right? Like, to me, I like the versatility there, the multifaceted nature of that back, but doesn't really give you anything different, where Cam Akers is a player I like a ton. But if I had to say anything that makes me nervous about Cam Akers going to the next level, I mean, he's big and explosive and powerful, but, you know, how does he respond to a more structured running style, if that makes sense, given kind of that weird scheme that Willie Taggart ran at Florida State? Where are you on those two guys as compliments to Devin?
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think Devin is probably even more on the field, more athletic than Edwards-Helaire, maybe not as a pass catcher, but as far as a runner, I think he has more make-you-miss ability, especially in tight spaces, than what Edwards-Helaire has. And I love Edwards-Helaire. I love the way he's able to receive the ball out of the backfield. I think that's really his calling card and where he's going to be best at in this class amongst any running back. So I think they're really similar. So I don't really see the Bills having a lot of interest in him. I think Akers probably would be more to their liking, just because I think he has a bit of a different running style. He's a much bigger guy as well. But I think your concerns are fair with Akers. But I kind of take a bit of the opposite end of the spectrum with that. I think with these holes that he's going to see in the NFL, I think it's going to be like, I think he's going to be surprised a lot by it, just because, I mean, he was making chicken salad out of chicken at Florida State. We both have seen the film with that. So I think he's going to be really surprised with some of the running lanes that he does see in the NFL.
It's funny. We normally talk about the opposite, right? Like, that running back's not going to get those lanes at the next level. Like, Cam Akers is getting an upgrade no matter where he goes, because I just cannot get beyond Willie Taggart and his run scheme. Okay. So let's say the Bills wait, right? Which is possible, right? If they want to go with that cornerback at 54, Third, fourth round, who are some of the backs that you like as a compliment to Devin Singletary?
Yeah, there's quite a bit. I think this is a really strong running back class, and I think one guy that definitely could have a lot of interest in is Zach Moss from Utah. Of course, the durability does bring you a little bit of pause, but as far as that big bell cow guy that can really handle the ball on every single down and be a pass-catching threat out of the backfield as well, I think Zach Moss does bring that to the table. Another one is LaMichael Perine from Florida, if you're looking for some more down-the-line options. And then another one, if they want to wait maybe like the fourth, fifth, or even sixth round to take a guy, I'm not sure if he'll go this late, but he's one I think will go in the fourth or fifth round, is A.J. Dillon from Boston College, a true downhill type of guy if you're looking for more of a two-down type of back and you want to really complement him and pair him with Singletary. I think they both could work as well.
My guest today on this podcast is Jordan Reed. You can follow him on Twitter at JReedNFL. That's Reed with an I. He's a senior NFL draft analyst for thedraftnetwork.com. When I got the agreement with you, you know, I talked to your agent and we're able to get you on this podcast. One topic that I couldn't wait to get into with you was Kyle Duggar, a safety from Lenoir Rhyne. I know a football player that you've seen with your own eyes. You went out to Hickory and seen him play. And so he's a player that Bills Mafia is pretty interested in. And I know that there's been some not some rumblings, there's some fact out there that the Bills have spent time at Lenoir Rhyne scouting Kyle Duggar. And so there's some links there that people are making. And kind of the idea with Poyer and Hyde kind of tied together through at least 2021, you know, it's they bring him in, what would he do? And some people have fallen into this idea of him being a Buffalo nickel or a big slot type corner. With that in mind, do you see him being a slot corner or just kind of stripping away the idea of what he would do in Buffalo? What do you think his optimum role is?
And this is something that I really struggle with, honestly. You know, seeing him play one time live and then seeing him at the Senior Bowl, it really opened my eyes a little bit as far as exactly what he can do in coverage, just because he played so much on the roof of the defense when he was at Lenoir Rhyne. You really didn't get to see him in any other spots, and he was just asked to attack downhill and just demolish everything in front of him. So we really didn't know how well he could play in coverage, but the Senior Bowl really opened my eyes to that a lot. And that was one of the biggest questions that I had coming into the Senior Bowl about him, is just how well can he cover? And I think he held up well in the one-on-one portions and then in the team sessions as well. And I love that they moved him around so much. The first day, he actually was on the roof playing some free safety, and he looked very fluid. And then the other two practices, he played closer to the line of scrimmage at strong safety and then that rover spot, which I think is really where his home and his ideal role is really at on the next level, just because he's a guy that's really physical. He can come down and be very physical in the slot against some of those slot receivers and also tight ends as well. Very, very strong kid. Loves the physical portions of the game, but I think he's very good in coverage. Now, he's not a guy you're going to ask to play on the roof of the defense. He doesn't have the range or the mobility to do that as far as sideline to sideline. But if you ask him to play in that strong safety or big nickel role, as you mentioned, I think he can hold up really well there.
You think he can go man coverage in the slot and mirror and match with some of these jitterbugs in the NFL that you have to deal with in the slot?
TBD. To be decided. I really do not know, just because I haven't seen it. I haven't seen him do that on film. And he did it at the Senior Bowl, but it was against tight ends. We didn't see him go against some of those shifty slot guys. But he held up well against the tight ends in the one-on-one portions. But as far as those short, shifty receivers, it's just TBD with that.
So with that, I mean, I agree with you. I think you can look at his physical skill set, and I wish I had been at the Senior Bowl to be able to see this for myself. But like I'm totally comfortable with him with bigger slots, tight ends. You feel like there maybe could be some matchup restrictions with some of those jitterbug guys. But like, as a guy that does have some matchup restrictions, that is kind of a sub package player, do you feel like there's enough there to warrant him at 54?
I think so. And I think if you're going to want to get him, you're probably going to have to take him at 54 just because I would be surprised if he makes it out of the top 60 just because of what he's shown. And then I keep saying this, everybody that asks about him is that even though he was from Lenoir Rhyne, if you were to put a Michigan helmet, an Alabama helmet or a Notre Dame helmet on him at the Senior Bowl, you would not have known the difference. I think that's how well he held up at the Senior Bowl. And that was the biggest question about him. Just how well was he going to adjust to the speed of the game? And there really was no drop-off with him. And that's what really surprised me the most about him.
Let's talk about edge rushers. Another potential position of need for the Buffalo Bills. Jerry Hughes, Mario Addison, those guys are both over 30. Trent Murphy is going to be 30 this year. So there's some aging players that are playing and filling key roles for this defense. if the Bills want to get younger at that position and address it at 54, who are some guys you can see fitting that Leslie Frazier defense?
At 54, it gets a little bit tricky just because, similar to some of the other positions in this draft, there really is a precipitous drop-off, and there's really kind of what flavor you like of edge rusher. And I'm looking at guys like Curtis Weaver, maybe, who's not as explosive as some of the players in this draft, but he has that inside-out versatility that the Bills really like to incorporate in their scheme. So maybe that's a player that they like. Terrell Lewis is a guy that may not be there. It really is kind of TBD with him as well, just because of the medical situation with the elbow and then a torn ACL a couple years ago as well. But one player I really do like for them is Jonathan Greenard. I think he's a player that they will have a lot of liking to. I thought he was going to test a little bit better at the combine. I thought he was a little bit more explosive than what he was going to show. But as far as what the Buffalo Bills asked their edge rushers to do, I think Greenard could be a really good fit.
Two names that I see Bills fans ask about a lot or put in their mock draft simulations. I see Darrell Taylor and Curtis Weaver. Feel like the valuation of those guys is tough to figure out. Like, you could tell me a team would pick them in the second round. You could tell me a team will pick them in the fourth round, and I don't know that I give you much of a fight. Where are you on their valuation?
So with Taylor, I've kind of went back and forth with him. I've kind of really struggled as far as projecting him, just because there's some games where he looks really good, and then there's others where he just completely disappears. And I think if he's able to get with a team that really has a really good surrounding for him, a demanding position coach with the Bills already do have in place, I think you can get the best out of him. And I think he's going to be really explosive on the next level as well. He has that pop that you're looking for. He had a really good battle back and forth with Jedrick Wills when they matched up against Alabama. I thought that was a really good matchup. And both of those guys had some wins and some losses. But you really got to see the potential that he does have and some of the explosiveness that he does have off of the edge. So I'm a fan of Taylor. But at 54, I think that might be a little bit early for him, just because of the consistency. Edge rushers that are really hot and cold, that kind of scares me a little bit. We've seen that with guys in the past, like Rashawn Gary last year was a great example of that. I'm just kind of guys that are really hot and cold that give me a little bit of pause as far as their projection on the next level. But with Curtis Weaver, the common thing out there about him is that he beat up on bad competition. And I think it was Portland State where he had 4 sacks. And then there was another 1AA opponent where he had like 3 sacks. So a lot of his sack production, I think he had 15 last year, really came against some of that lower level competition. But when he had to play in the Mountain West, he didn't stand out as much. And even though he was the conference defensive player of the year, he didn't stand out as much as you would have liked. But he is very talented, and he actually came into Boise as a defensive tackle. He was over 300 pounds when he came in. He lost the weight, shed the weight, and you still kind of see that on his body. He's a guy that kind of has a different type of build, so he's going to have to trim up a little bit. So I think that's something that, with Weaver, that's a common stigma out there about him. But his explosiveness, I wish he would have performed at the combine. That's something that I was looking forward to. We really didn't get to see that from him. So we're not going to get numbers from him, but I was really looking forward to seeing how well he tested. But he's a guy I've struggled with projecting as well, just because he's another guy that came into the year projected as a first-round selection, but just beating up on the bad competition and then kind of disappearing a little bit against some of the teams in the Mountain West. That's really where I kind of struggle with him.
Yeah, it feels like the Bills are in no man's land a little bit when it comes to defensive end possibilities. And look, they could roll with the top three there, and they'll be just fine. And they be something that they have to look to get younger at in the future. And then let's not forget about Darryl Johnson, your guy. He wound up playing. Dude, he was a four-phase special teamer for the Bills. He played about 20-30% of the defensive snaps. So,
my God, man. Remember me telling you about him?
So now he's got a full year right now to prepare for the season. Like, I mean, let's not sleep on him as potentially the young guy in the room that can really turn into something.
Yeah, I'm excited about Darryl, man. I like him a lot.
Me too. Another year in the process, I think, is going to be good for him. And so, you know, as much as we want to talk young edge rushers, let's not forget about him and the fact that he was, you know, he basically dressed every week. And like I said, played 20% of the snaps on defense in 4 phases of special teams. Like, that's really good for a 7th round developmental defensive end. Usually those guys are stashed. I mean, this guy was a contributor. Let's the last position group I want to talk about is wide receiver. I mean, the Bills' top three are set. We feel really good about that. But, you know, you still look at this group and feel like the size guy is missing, the big alpha catch radius type player. Now, that could be Duke Williams in another year and in the system and potentially being more consistent than he was last year. But, you know, you don't want to have no competition for Duke Williams. Now, I think this is a day 3 discussion in terms of where the Bills will add that player. But if you wanted to find a size catch radius guy to compete with Duke Williams on day three, give us a couple names.
Yeah, there's a couple guys just off the top of my head that makes sense that could go in that late day two, early day three range. Isaiah Hodgins from Oregon State is one that definitely does make a lot of sense. He actually reminds me of Josh Reynolds coming out a couple years ago. I think they have a similar skill set as far as guys that aren't burners. I think he ran like a 4.61 at the combine, but he's a really good route runner. He has an outstanding catch radius, and he's a guy that's really smart. That's something that stands out about Hodgins. And he's not a guy that's going to stretch the field or anything like that. But if you're looking for a guy that can dominate the short to intermediate areas and really be a well-rounded route runner in those areas, I think Hodgins could be your guy. And then another is Antonio Gandy-Golden from Liberty. A guy that I got to see down at the Senior Bowl, he answered a lot of questions down there. But the speed thing, the speed element of his game is just something that is lacking. And even though he did show it a little bit at the Senior Bowl, it's just not really the part of his game that he really thrives upon. But he was able to win vertically a lot when he was at Liberty. But that's just not going to be the case in the NFL just because, of course, the people that he's going to be matched up against, they're going to be much more athletic and they're going to be much more vertically fast than what he saw in that level of competition. But you know, in the short to intermediate areas, that's really can be his calling card, is that big body guy that can play above the rim and go get the ball. Gandy Golden definitely can be that type for the Bills.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot here. I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this, but I don't care. You now have, your Vikings now have pick 22. Who are some of the guys you're hoping to get there?
So I have like two guys that I really want, and I know that's like a short list. Well, I should say three. Justin Jefferson from LSU. He's one that I'm a big fan of. I like him a lot. I actually have a first rounder, have a first round grade on him. Just seeing him at the combine, man, he was just ridiculously in his routes, and his hands are so strong and he's so fluid. So I would be completely fine with taking him at 22. Jeff Gladney is another from TCU. I'm a big fan of him. I think he actually reminds me a lot of Trey White coming out, the guys that are very similar stylistically as far as, you know, tough, nasty, in your face, that dog mentality that you're looking for. They have the speed that you're looking for as well. He has the ball production that you love to see from that position as well. And then a tackle, Josh Jones from Houston. I'll be completely fine with taking him at 22 as well, just because Riley Reiff is getting older. His production is slipping year by year, and I think they need that blindside protector for Kirk Cousins of the future. And I'm just not big on sliding guys over from the right side to the left side or vice versa with Brian O'Neill. I just think they need to leave him at right tackle since he's been so good there.
You know, it's funny. I just, when you start talking about a need for receiver, obviously the Vikings must have thought they had to do this deal.
Yeah.
Because you're basically going to try to draft a replacement for Diggs. But you still get some additional, you know, a fifth, a sixth, a four, right, back. Mm-hmm. So there's some additional capital that goes there to help offset. But, you know, it's one of those deals where it's not like Diggs was expendable. They kind of feels like they had to make the move.
Yeah, and that's the thing with Diggs, man. It's such a big loss, and everybody likes to compare, you know, him and Adam Thielen. I think he's actually the better receiver of the two, just because when Diggs was down and when he was hurt and Thielen had to produce by himself, he just really wasn't that same type of guy, just because he operates from the slot so much. But when Thielen was down all of last year, Stephon was incredible, man. And the biggest reason that he really demanded his way out is just he didn't like the chemistry between him and Kirk Cousins. And then he only had, I believe it was 94 targets last year, which was the lowest of his career, even including his rookie year in 2015, if I'm speaking correctly. So he just wanted more targets, and he only had one game where he had 10 plus targets. And we've seen all the superstar wide receivers around the league, they at least get 10 targets a game, like minimum. So that's something that Stephon is going to get in Buffalo. And I like that pairing a lot for him.
Well, I guess just not to continue down this rabbit hole, but when you think about Josh Allen as a distributor of the football, and given, you know, John Brown, who's coming off a 1,000-yard season, Cole Beasley, who, you know, deserves his looks, and he came to the Bills for opportunity. Do you think Josh can really get this football spread around and make everyone happy? Because, you know, I don't know that he targeted anyone 10 times in a game very often last year.
Well, I think they're going to make sure he does it now, just because the Bills haven't had a receiver of this caliber in a while, in my opinion. But, you know, keeping Stephon happy, it's going to be tough. I'm going to tell you that right now, just because he has a very demanding personality. But just think of it as him being competitive from his sideline outbursts and things of that nature. And there's going to be periods where he does get frustrated with Josh, but with Stephon, he always seems to calm down once you start to force feed him the ball a little bit, and you guys are going to enjoy him, man. He's a blast. He's a terrific player to not only cover as far as from a personality standpoint, but from an on-the-field perspective, just seeing how much he got better from 2015 to last season. I think he can take another step up, and I think he's just scratching the surface of what he can be, just because Adam Thielen and some of the other players in the Vikings system took some touches away from him. But now being that bona fide number one guy, I think he's going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, 26 years old, a team-friendly deal. Bills Mafia should be happy to have him. Jordan, happy to have you on this podcast for your expertise on Stephon Diggs and as well as the draft, to give these listeners another voice here to talk draft, because, you know, look, I don't want to act like I'm the only guy that knows a thing about the draft, and I want to give everyone a good, well-rounded perspective on what the Bills can do. And you're a very popular man on this podcast. People like to have you. And so thanks for carving out some time to speak to the Bills Mafia.
I appreciate it, Joe. And one thing I did want to say, a lot of you guys called me crazy for predicting 8 wins for Buffalo last year. Don't think I forgot about that.
sometime before preseason, we'll do it again, right? We'll see where you're at on this roster. It's a tougher schedule. They play the NFC West this coming year, and obviously a second place schedule. So it's a little bit different, but we'll have to have you back on again and add 2 wins to it, and then we'll know what the Bills do.
Definitely. You guys should definitely be excited in Buffalo, man. The way that Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean have pieced that roster together, and they've done a phenomenal job. You should be very excited about the future.
Appreciate you, Jordan. He's at JReedNFL. That's Reed with an I, at JReedNFL on Twitter. He's a senior NFL draft analyst for thedraftnetwork.com, and he's been a fantastic guest for us here on this podcast. I do thank you for listening today. I always kindly ask that you share, subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. I have another great guest lined up for tomorrow, so don't miss it and make sure you are subscribed. Again, thank you for listening, and I'll be back again for you tomorrow.